God damn you.
Okay, I got some good trash to commish. I can definitely contribute there tonight for sure. I got it. Some good ones.
Love it.
Awesome.
Love it. Ooh. I turned my headset up and now I'm pumping through my ears right now.
740 Prime League Podcast.
Cash Penny and 350 Productions.
Falling autumn leaves, it's gridiron time. As they face off in the league, top high New Guinea prime. When it comes to draft selection, be methodical and wise. Draft that backer receiver who can cross the goal line. Gotta draft the clutch kicker, the defense that grinds. Sacks and QB forces turnovers like this ball mine. Who gon' win it all? I'm not quite sure, don't know. Is it in your girl's guts? A team Sestito. Team Aaron's, we trust a Tama Jammer, bro. And we have Grateful Zed squaring off with Let It Rain. Member Berries versus Clam Wallin, who gon' feel the pain? Spider-Man versus Waddle Rockets, who gon' do they thing? Plus that primetime showdown that completes this race. Fantasy football team versus Team Mimic Team Face.
Primetime.
Yeah.
Welcome into the Prime League Podcast, episode 1.06, live every Wednesday night, live at the 808, right around 7:30, alongside the league commission owner of the Sanford Waddle Rockets, Shane McClain, as well as the former owner of the Delaware Donkey Punchers, Justin Humphreys. My name is Tim O'Halleck, owner of the fantasy football team. We are here without the co-commish and the owner of the member berries, Jason Ryan. He is on his Alaskan crusade this week, guys. He'll be enjoying the beach next week, so I think we are all in agreement when I say, screw you, Jay. Week one in the books. Gentlemen, it's great to be back, the sixth episode. Justin, thanks for joining us today, and looking forward to having a good time with you guys.
Me too. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Week one was a banger. I'm hyped. Let's get this thing rolling.
Yeah. What stood out to you most about week one starting? Let's go with the NFL first.
What stood out to me most? Geez. I mean, outside of course, the two terrible injuries mm-hmm. to the two, big starters in the league. Outside of that, I was surprised by some of the scores that came out. I was very disappointed by the Steelers outing, but I didn't expect them to win. I just didn't expect them to get stomped the way that they did. Outside of that, I wasn't surprised by too many things outside of those few things.
Am I missing anybody that got hurt other than Rodgers, Cam Hayward? I know Deontay Johnson. Was there another key one were talking about?
Off the top of my head, I can't really think.
Okay. Right now. You said the two key ones. I didn't know which, other than Rodgers, obviously, he's the main one. I don't know if there was another one.
Him,
I was
Dobbins, about. And Deontay the Johnson are big losses, yeah.
Yeah. What about our league? Anything stand out to you after week one? I mean, pretty much all the games were lopsided last week.
Yeah. Your team stood out to me. That's for damn sure. What did you put up, 154 points or 158 points?
154 like was the most, and I out-projected myself by like 25.5 points, I think. So, go me.
I was not expecting that. Your team showed up for sure.
It was just two or three positions, though. Tyreek Hill, 44 points. He was the top fantasy getter. Right behind him in the league, I can't remember off the top of my head, but there was somebody else. And number three was Dallas's defense. So right there, I have two of the top three scorers in the league, and that's really what propelled me. Nothing else really stood out about my team, I think, week one.
Yeah, you make me look stupid now with that shit-talking I was doing on your Dallas defense pick.
Well, we have at least one guest hopefully lined up later on in the show. We'll get him. But, Justin, it's great to have you back. I know you don't watch football too much, but a big Steelers fan. So what do you think about the Steelers opening season?
First of all, thanks for having me. I feel a little bit like, you remember in the Anchorman when Ron Burgundy doesn't show up and Veronica Corningstone gets to read the news in her place?
Yeah. Yep.
That's kind of how I feel right now. So it was a rough outing for the Steelers week one, obviously getting just destroyed. So it was tough to see. And the the Aaron Rodgers injury, big hit there. Yeah. With the Achilles, like that's obviously, you know, it's a season ender. They obviously announced the news officially today. And I see that the Players Association for the NFL is making another call to go back to grass fields because of that. Do you think that has an effect on the injury, or do you think there's any credit to that?
I saw that, and they posted a percentage. I think it was you have a 24% chance of getting injured on a non-contact injury on turf than you do on grass. So the numbers are there, but whether or not – are the owners going to lose money? Because that's where the holdup would be. If the owners are going to lose money, they're going to fight it until the very end. But if they're not going to lose money on that, I think injuries like this one right here, where a star player in the league is going to tear his Achilles, he's out for the season, they'll lose money that way, you know? So maybe they do. I think something like this, they might tip them over the edge.
Yeah. Obviously these franchise quarterbacks, well, I don't know if you'd consider Aaron Rodgers a franchise quarterback with his age. These star quarterbacks, I mean, that's a big investment too. So anything to protect them, you'd think that they would want to do. But it was rough. Going back to the Steelers, it was a rough start. Obviously, Kenny Pickett, two INTs. I think he went like 31 for 46, as I'm reading right now. So Najee Harris, only 6 carries for 31 yards. I mean, they played rough. They got beat up. So I hopefully they can rally and turn it around. They got the Browns next week, so looking forward to a good matchup, nice rivalry matchup right there.
Yeah, that matchup, because it's Browns-Steelers, obviously you can never count either one of them out, but the Browns looked really good week one. So that one, the Steelers, I think that they got an uphill battle to climb coming up Monday night.
Okay. Yeah, they put a whooping on them. They put a whooping on the Bengals.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a divisional game too, right? So that holds a lot of weight.
Absolutely. Now, here's the thing. Here's my breakdown on this one. Joe Burrow didn't play all preseason. He got limited time leading up to the start of the season. So there's obviously going to be some rust. So I give them that. But, I mean, the Browns still looked really good. So,
yeah. How much can be attributed to that? Look, Jared Goff didn't play the entire preseason either. True. And he had a rough first drive, maybe drive and a half. And after that, he was on point.
He was good, yeah.
Yeah.
These guys are professional. They'll get it. They'll get back on track, though. I don't expect the Bengals to stay down like that long. So, here in the next couple of weeks, but later on, we will get to trash the commish. Don't forget to submit your material to me. We can read it on the air. You can also call into the show by hitting up my cell 740-346-5607. We will update you on the standings of King of the Hill, as well as give you our week 2 picks. We'll provide our stardom and sit-em picks for week 2. Take your calls, but first, it is time for the weekly review.
Waiver Wire Review.
Or the Waiver Wire Review. It's actually the weekly review. We got our notes crossed up right there, so that's why that says that, but... Yeah, the weekly review. We'll also lump in the waiver wire review, which not too many moves after week one. I think a lot of people were going after the same player, and somebody, me, outbid everybody else.
You sure did, you jerk. All right, well, week one is officially in the book, so we're going to take a quick look-see here and check out things panned out. First, like you said, we're gonna hit the scoreboard up, and then we're gonna move on to the waiver wire for a quick review of the picks and drops that came through there.
All right, let me get my notes together here. The week games, Sanford. What's SWR? Sean.
Sanford Wattle Rockets.
Okay, I thought so. Sanford Wattle Rockets defeated the Member Berries 113-69. The Clam Wallet Scavengers over Spider Dicks. I think it's Spider-Man parts now, but 109-79. The Fantasy Football Team over Teamy McTeam Face 154-113. Wayne over Jimmy 111-57. Vince over Mike 138-125. I think someone's typing something. I saw something pop up real quick. And game of the week, Grateful Zeds over Tama Jama, 95-75.
Looks like some solid matchups in week one.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, the closest game was what? There's a 20-point. No. Vince over Wayne. That ended up coming down to about a 13-point deficit. That was the closest one.
Vince over Mike, yeah.
I'm sorry, yeah. What did I say
and
Wayne?
That was the game of the week, actually, was Vince over Mike. Was 138
right.
to 125.
Well,
that was...
Go ahead, Shane.
I was just going to say that was the closest gap. Everything else was 20 points or more. I mean,
yeah,
pretty widespread across the board there.
So a lot of blowouts then. I'm happy to see Bryce lost because that means he's one step over to one step closer to relinquishing his team to me. So that's great.
Yeah, I was expecting your brother to put up more points, 95 points in the first week. That's respectable, but and especially with two young running backs starting off. But I still think he put up a solid performance. I think that I think both Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Mustard Robinson looked really promising. Didn't get a lot of touches in week one, but I think that whenever they did have the ball in their hands, they were electric. They made great moves. And I think Mustard crossed the goal line, right? He got a touchdown last week.
He certainly did. And he put up 19 fantasy points in our league. Yeah. So, I mean, he had a good game. It wasn't what we were hoping for, obviously. And if you look at his counterpart, Algier, he actually put up 23
more points. But, yeah.
He had an amazing game as well, which I'll actually talk about a little bit later on also. But I was expecting him to at least cross the 100-point threshold. So that was a surprise for me as well.
More than half. Okay, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the 12 teams crossed the 100-point threshold. He was the next one in line at 95 points, so 5 points shy, but still got the win. It's all about your matchups.
He's the only one that didn't cross that threshold and walked away with the win this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff did, and Mike did. They each put up over 110, and each dealt losses. So just happened to go up against the top two scorers in the league this week.
Absolutely. All right. So what were you going to say?
Waiver wire review.
Okay. Now it's actually the waiver wire review. So go ahead, Sean.
Oh, God. All right. Yeah. We're going to talk some waiver wire news here. Probably the biggest news of the week so far is that Tim is a snake in the grass and stole Puka Nacua from everybody else. Dropped $40 on it. I couldn't go that high. I wanted to, but I couldn't bring myself to do it, Tim.
Well, I was texting you, and I strategically did not tell you who I put the $57 bid in on because I figured that you were one of the ones, just like a lot of other teams, rightfully so, going after him, especially with Cooper Kupp being down. But Nacua, he had an impressive game, not only statistically, but if you got to watch it, he looked like a natural out there catching the football, and he was showing flashes of Julian Edelman type wide receiver, very shifty, in and out of good routes, made nice catches along the sideline. So I think that he has some promise even when Cooper Kupp comes back. Yeah, obviously he's going to take a hit fantasy wise, but he showed a lot of promise in that win last week for the Rams.
100%. He was a big surprise for me. I had him on the radar, but he wasn't blipping as hard as he should have, apparently. Beyond that, Jason is going to that same team and picking up Tutu Atwell. So he snagged him up to cover up the wound left by Kupp being out. Wayne picked up Kareem Hunt, who is not on a team right now. He dropped a Deuce Vaughn, and I'm thinking that he's got a destination in mind for him, possibly Baltimore, after the injury that happened this weekend. Wayne also picked up Kenny Gainwell on a bid from the Eagles. I think he's listed for out for Thursday's game at this point, so he's not going to have him this week, but he was the clear-cut number one back this week, which may have been surprising to a lot of people, so I like that pickup as well. I dropped Ty Chandler for Sean Tucker from Tampa. I also picked up their defense this week. I also grabbed up Elijah Moore, who was let go before the weekend games by Gratz. Thank you, Gratz. And then I picked up Jake Ferguson from Dallas just as some tight end support there. I liked what I saw from him this week. He was very active. And, of course, you know tight ends with Dak Prescott are always a plus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Vince grabbed up Purdy as he comes off of losing Rodgers for the year. I did see he kept Rodgers, so he must have some hopes for him to come back next year. In my mind, I don't see that happening, but I mean, you know, we'll see what happens there. And then Gratz won his bid for Jordan Love, ditched Pickett, and then Mike picked up Rashid Shaheed from New Orleans, and Zach added Justice Hill from Baltimore in an attempt to soak up some points left behind from Dobbins.
Well, if I think I got it right, Justin, I'm going to let you chime in because I know you wanted to say something. But if I got this right, I don't think Jeff put a bid in on Jordan Love. I think he was able to pick him up after the waivers cleared. So Jeff kept his – I think so. I'm trying to double check this, but Jeff kept his money – and he nice. Dropped Kenny Pickett on that. Yeah, added dropped. No money exchange right there for Jeff. So, yeah, he got him for free. Let it rain. Got Rashid Shaheed, New Orleans wide receiver, for free. Dropped Greg the Leg, as you mentioned. And your brother, Justice Hill. That's another free one right there. Running back for running back for Baltimore. Sorry about that. Dropping Elijah Mitchell, which I think Elijah Mitchell, he's in a tough situation in San Francisco. I think he's a really good player, but there's just too many mouths to feed over there.
Yeah, I mean, look at what McCaffrey did this week. What he had, like, he went 22. I think his line was 22 for 152 in one touchdown, maybe two touchdowns. I can't remember the last part, but he had 22 carries. Yeah. You know, there's not going to be a lot left for anybody else in that backfield.
Yeah. Bubba, so you
went after Nacua heavy, right? You mm-hmm. spent a lot of capital going after him. So do we know who the next closest bid was to Tim? Shane, do we have that information? Or did
yeah, we do.
I had it pulled up. Do you got a chain? Because I was going to say I saw it earlier, but I can't find it right now. I just gave up on it. But
and while he's looking that up, Tim, what is the strategy behind the bid on the players with the waiver wire? Do you want to retain some of that to, you know, spread it out, or –
So talk to me about that. We're each given $200 acquisition budget for the entire year. So each week, whenever we go into the waivers, instead of doing it where whoever is in last place will get the first selection in the waivers, it's a bidding process. And you put your silent bid in on a certain player. Where do you think, you know, how much do you think he's worth? And that's where it gets, especially week one like this. You see the guys who come out and tear up, and Nacua is one that there was at least four other bids, I'm pretty sure, on Nacua.
Yeah, I have it up in front of me whenever you're ready. But
yeah, the strategy behind it is, where do you think other people are going to max out their bid? I was drinking, and I had mine all the way up to 57 the other day. And then I told Chan, I was like, no, it's not that much. It's not going to be that much. He's not like, I mean, he could be game changer, but I don't think it's going to be $57. So I reined it in to 27, and then I brought it back up to 37 or 38 before waivers cleared.
So essentially, on Nacua, you've spent almost a quarter of your funds.
Almost.
Shane, what did those other bids come in at?
Yeah, so that's actually funny, Tim, that you said you moved it up from 27 to 38, because the next closest bid was Remy with 25. Yep. So you would have beat him there.
Yeah.
Wow. And then behind him was me. I put 22 on him. And then Jason attempted to get him as well with 15.
Wow. Good grab, Tim. Let's see if it pays off.
Yeah. I dropped a lot of money on somebody who probably isn't going to see the field or see the starting lineup for me for a few weeks, barring no injuries. So we'll see how it plays out, but I like the move, especially with Cooper Kupp being out. Matthew Stafford needs a go-to guy. He did it. He needed one in Detroit. He's still a solid quarterback, and in my opinion, it depends on how these last couple of years go, I think he'll be in Canton one day. But he is a solid quarterback, but he does like his targets to go to.
He had a great game Sunday.
Real quick, like, if we could circle back real quick to Aaron Rodgers, what kind of effect does that have on – so, obviously, he's got some weapons around him, right? Yeah. And that's going to negatively impact those players as well. So, could you speak to that a little bit about what that might look like as far as, you know, what his backup is going to be doing or how that's going to change?
You want to talk on this one, Tim, or you want me to go ahead?
If you want, I was going through my notes. I think that I'm going to touch on this in a little bit, so I was going to pull that up so we could talk about that. But yeah, go ahead, Shane, and then we'll see what we got.
Well, I have some strong opinions on Zach Wilson. I think he's just garbage, absolute trash. So that downgrades Wilson and every other player, basically, except for maybe Breece Hall in my mind, in terms of the rest of the year. we don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be back next year. Even if he is, he's going to be the same person with the Achilles. I don't know. He's going to be, what is he, 40 years old at this point?
Yeah, he's 39, and I agree. That is a hard, any sport, that's a very difficult injury to come back from. You're talking 11 months of surgery and rehab. It's brutal.
Yeah, and that's if you're young, you can come back from it on the good end.
Yeah. Right.
And I just think the reason they went out and got him is because of how badly Wilson played last year and how badly the team did around Wilson. Mm-hmm. If you look at the stats on just Garrett Wilson alone, when Zach Wilson is his quarterback, it's traumatic. It is a dramatic drop. He had less than 8 fantasy points in every game that Zach Wilson was the quarterback last year. And then every quarterback that played with him outside of that, whether it be Flacco or I think it was Mike White, he had 17 or higher whenever they were in. So I have no hopes for the rest of the team. Like I said, outside of Breece Hall, moving forward.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's gotta be a blow to the Jets. I know that there was a lot of talk. They look good in the preseason. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of talk about the Jets going long this year and making a good run for it. And to be a Jets fan right now has got to be pretty. It's gotta be pretty brutal. Your dreams are shattered.
Oh yeah. Their Super Bowl odds dropped through the floor whenever, not even Tuesday, whenever it was announced that he had a torn his Achilles, but Monday night dropped immediately.
Yeah. And you know, he's, I don't know what they spent on him, but like you said, he's 39. There's a chance he doesn't come back, right? This could be career ending. It's very likely. So,
well, LaFleur has come out and said that he would be absolutely surprised. I think he's supposed to say that he would be absolutely surprised if Rodgers does retire. But I'm with you guys. I think he comes back. But, hold on, let me turn this off. Okay, there we go. All right. Guys, our guest this week, he has became a daddy for the third time nearly a month ago when he and his wife, Katie, welcomed Logan Kate into this crazy world back on August 18th at 4:06 p.m. He has been providing technical and network assistance to school districts in the Ohio Valley and for his friends for well over a decade. However, he has yet to figure out how to get a plaque with his name on it. Founding owner of the Ass Pounders back in 2016, he became the Spider Dicks in 2017, and finally keeping the name Spider-Man Parts since 2018. He and two of his three siblings, they share a birthday less than 2 weeks apart, which happens to fall almost exactly 9 months after both of their parents' birthdays. Wink, wink. And with an overall record of 44-46-1, we welcome to the Prime League podcast, Matt Emlay. Matt, thanks for joining us today, buddy.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm not going to lie. I completely forgot about that my team was initially called the Ass Pounders. You said
that. How's it going, man. Matt?
Oh, man. I was actually going to make a joke that, man, me coming on the show is doubling the amount of hair people like this podcast has, but you guys got humps in here now. So.
Oh, man. Coming out.
Yeah, Shane's wearing a Backstreet Boys reminiscent cap today. On the
piece of what? He's coming in to trash the commission. He's not wasting any time here, but he's trashing, trashing the commission. He's trashing the owner of the Fantasy Football League. So, So Matt, how's life with the new baby? How are things going over there?
Exhausting. Definitely haven't been able to follow NFL leading into the season as much as I would like. You probably tell by the state of my wide receivers last week, them netting me an entire 0 points. But I love being a dad, so I don't have any regrets about it. I love my kids, but definitely hurt my fantasy prospects.
Matt,
that's priorities, Matt. That's all I can say. Priorities.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm proud of my daughter though. I walked down the living room Sunday after I went and did something. I can't remember. I came back and Macy was in the living room with the Browns game on. She's like, "Hey, Dad, you want to watch football with me? I'm just watching the Browns game." I was like, "You know what, Macy? I would love to watch the Browns game with you." So she's starting already.
So, Matt, you fell to the Clams last week. Can you talk a little bit about how it felt and what disappointed you about your team?
It was that was rough. man, like, it was just a bad situation. Didn't think my wide receivers would do that bad. I mean, T. Higgins, he got targets. He just couldn't catch anything, which is like a double-edged sword for me because, well, thanks for my fantasy team. I'm a Browns fan, so I loved watching the Bengals get smacked down. But at the end of the day, in fantasy, there's a cut. I want to get that plaque on that trophy. So it's rough, though. But
same,
I think I have a decent team this year. I think I can do better. So maybe I might have to make a couple trades here and there, see if I can get some trade ups and spread some love around. Hopefully, I'll do better after this game, after that last game.
Well, it's also pretty apparent that Shane cheats as well as the commish. So, I mean, I think that that's one of the reasons he definitely put it over on you.
I'm not going to lie. I was listening to the podcast a couple weeks ago, and I'm pretty sure subconsciously I picked the Kansas City running back just because Shane said I wouldn't pick a Kansas City running back. I was like, you know what? I'll show Shane.
I'm just planting the seed.
Hey, Matt, I don't think you made any attempts to acquire anybody through the waiver wire. I know you needed.
I have not.
Yeah. Well, we understand you're busy. We know we get that. Anything? I know you were talking about maybe doing some trades. Any players that you're willing to put on the trade block that you want to announce here on the Prime League podcast?
Not yet. I gotta dig through things. I really focused on the draft to try and build up my running backs because they were terrible last year. Near the end of the season, I traded Hilty for Nick Chubb to try and bolster it. I gave away Josh Allen because I still had two in my back pocket, and then I ended up picking up Watson on free agency. But I don't know. Before I make any serious trades, I think I gotta give at least one more week, see how the Bengals do this week, see how Atlanta does this week, and see if I need to make any trades in the wide receiving side of things this time. So I don't know. Maybe Shane will get that rookie quarterback if he's the one to give up a decent wide receiver. You never know.
Shane said we'll talk after the podcast.
Hey, well, I remember that trade last year with Nick Chubb and Josh Allen. That was a blockbuster trade. Yeah. I would have done the same thing in your shoes.
Yeah. Didn't help me the long run, but maybe this year and next year will pay dividends.
My biggest question for you, Matt, this week, oddly enough, in another league, I have the same two quarterbacks you do, Deshaun Watson and Anthony Richardson, and I am right now in a toss-up of who I'm starting. Which one are you going with this week? You leaving it with Deshaun, or are you thinking about putting Richardson in there?
I'm probably leaning putting the Richardson in. I liked the Watson last week. I thought he played real well, but them going into Pittsburgh, that's going to be a very emotional game for them. They're going to have a chip on their shoulder, but also you got the Steelers coming off a really, really bad loss, and I think they're going to put the pedal to the metal and try and really run down Deshaun's throat. So it's just a tough call. I think they're going to do well this year, but after the last two games, I don't know. I'm a big Browns fan, but I know what the Browns do. They have a good game, they get relaxed, and they play like shit.
Matt, so, did you mention Cleveland going to Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh will be spirited this week. Does that also influence your switch at tight end? You moved Njoku out of the starting rotation. You put him on the bench, and you brought in Green Bay's tight end. I can't think of his name right now.
Yeah,
no, he brought in Higbee.
Tyler Higbee, you're right.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with that. I still like Njoku. I think he's a really good – I think he's an underutilized piece of the Browns offense. But if they really start taking Deshaun's wide receivers out, he might be feeding Njoku those catches a little more often. But I did know – I mean, the Browns kind of seem to be cycling their tight ends in a little bit more, I think, than they did last year. So, I don't know. Might still look at it a little bit more, see if it's worth switching them out.
Well, you got a big interdivisional matchup coming up this week against Jason, who he's on vacation, Matt, so you might have a chance. Maybe he's going to forget to adjust his roster.
Yeah, he's got Burrow, right? Maybe Burrow just has another terrible game, and I'll get off easy.
No, I think – hold on. I think, Matt, I think you got Shane's team.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's not looking too good, man.
Still a divisional game.
It's going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If Drake Landon, as Tim likes to call him, can show up and put up points this week for you.
And T. Higgins. I just need both of them to put up something, you know?
T. Higgins, that's a fluke, man. He was a second round draft pick, and he had an amazing year last year. There's no reason why he should drop that many passes. Something was up. I don't think you're going to see that again.
I don't know if that was him as much as it was Burrow. I don't know. So I know Burrow's coming off that leg injury, so I don't know if that has something to do with it, but maybe he'll figure himself out and play better next week.
He had a slow start last year, if you remember, as well, and then obviously ended up tearing up. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned earlier, also, Burrow didn't play all preseason, so he's had a different quarterback throwing to him all preseason. And he didn't practice much either. He didn't really get working in with the first team until after the final preseason because they didn't even know if he was going to open up the season as the starter because he was still dealing with that injury.
Well, Burrow, too, he was throwing a lot of short pass, like hitting him in the feet. He's probably squeezing the ball too hard, getting nervous, not playing those preseason games, didn't get the jitters out maybe. I mean, hopefully he's this mid-season, then he doesn't get that. But coming off an injury, he might have.
Okay, Matt, last week's episode, we graded each draft. I gave you a C+ to a B-. You took David Montgomery, Isaiah Pacheco, Michael Pittman Jr., Anthony Richardson, Tyler Higbee, Juju, Devin Singletary. Again, I gave you a C+, B-. Where do you rate your draft?
I'd probably say C or so. It wasn't terrible, but it definitely could have been a lot better.
Yeah.
When you only prepare for like an hour before the draft, I mean, I guess that's as good as you're going to get.
Well, while you're here, it is customary that we always ask our guests, do you have any trash you like to take out? Do you want to
piece of white trash?
Trash the commish?
Oh, man, I had so many good ones like in the barrel earlier, like when I was at work and I completely forgot all of them. I'm terrible. The only one I had was about him being bald and how funny that is. But
I was going to say, well, the obvious one I think you could go with is the bald. But yeah, I forgot you did drop that as soon as you walked in. But hey, that was an attack at me also.
It was. It was meant to be. And Jason too. Don't forget Jason.
I didn't even think about that.
The sad part is I'm the only one that's come to terms with it.
Don't worry. At least you're not a split beard like Tim does.
Oh, man. Hold on. Oh, man. How's it look today, guys?
Constantly twirling it like a wizard.
I think it's okay right now. Yeah, it's okay right now.
And
give you a check real quick.
All right. Excuse me. Thank you, Matt, for taking time. We know you got a lot going on right now. You got a matchup with the Sanford Waddle Rockets coming up this week. Don't forget to set your lineup tomorrow. And hey, listen, later on coming up, whenever we do our Stardom or segment, Sit'em segment, which is coming up next, you never know, your team might be featured by one of us.
Ooh. I'll have to wait and see. I'll switch over to live and hear what you guys have to say.
All right.
Thanks for coming on, Matt.
Later, Matt.
No problem, guys. Later, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. That's Matt Emlay. He is owner of the Spider-Man Parts. Again, also the founding owner of the Ass Pounders. He said he forgot about that. I forgot about that, too, actually. Ass Pounders became Spider-Man Dicks in 2017. Finally, Spider-Man Parts since 2018. So his team name is one of the longest tenured. I didn't double check this against anything, but I do know that his team name is one of the longest tenured here in the Papua New Guinea Prime League.
Did they force him to change it from Spider Dicks to Spider Man Parts? Is that a sensory?
That's a good question, but I don't think so because of Wayne's name.
Oh yeah. Okay.
But
no, they don't.
He has his name is spelled out Black Cox, but it doesn't have an X, an actual X letter. It's some other type of some other type of thing. I don't know what it is.
I vividly remember having a conversation about this with Matt about the name and how Spider Dicks was not as funny as Spider Man Parts because it's Spider Man and Man Parts. Man Parts. Because his picture has always been that penis in a Spider-Man suit swinging through the, the city.
All right, guys.
I need to feel your energy today from start to finish.
Come on! Let's go! Let's go!
Let's keep this train rolling. Let's go!
Hey, it's time to go right now.
Start 'em or sit 'em.
All right, so it's only week two, but we already have some serious decisions to be made when it comes to the lineups. Let's discuss a few that stand out to us this week. Tim, you want to take it away?
I'm going to go backwards a little bit. But I'm going to start with Tama Jama. He deactivated. deactivated Johnson. Deontay Johnson is where I was getting with that. Deontay Johnson at wideout, I think a clear move here. He's either moving Keenan Allen into that wide receiver two spot or Jacoby Myers. One of those two, I think, pop up the number two, and then he's just going to need to fill that flex spot. But Bryce's issue, I think his main issue is not the flex spot necessarily. I think his issue is at RB2. He has Jalen Warder right now, Pittsburgh Steelers backup running back. I think we saw enough out of both Pittsburgh's offense and the Cleveland defense in week one to stay away from that right there. I'm going to say DeAndre Swift over Jalen Warren. Swift, he's going to see an uptick in fantasy points this week. Kenneth Gainwell ruled out for week two, their week two matchup, which is tomorrow night against Minnesota. Without a doubt, my pick for this one, Swift over Warren. Bryce, if you're listening right now, I'm not sure who you're playing. It's not me. But go ahead and make that change, and you can thank me later. Spider-Man parts, Matt. Recently switching from David Njoku over to Tyler Higbee. Sorry, I got my alarms going off. Over to Tyler Higbee. I'm not particularly a fan of this. I do get it. Njoku, he was only target three times in that win over Cincinnati last week, but I feel like bad weather made the passing attack less of a threat, and I don't think the Rams will look as good as they did in their opener last week against Seattle, especially with them going up against San Francisco in week two. So I'm going with David Njoku over Tyler Higbee at your tight end spot, Matt.
Nice. I'm with you on that. The only thing I might push you on the Higbee thing. I love Njoku and I love Higbee as well. but with Cup being out, we know that Stafford loves his tight ends there as a safety net. So he might see 10 targets this week. You know what I mean? So that might be the only thing I'd push you on there. I took a look at Zach's team this week after the 95-point output and the issues going on with certain teams around the league. I think he has some choices he needs to make. So a couple interesting decisions at least. If I'm him, I'm rolling out Pickens this week, and I'm actually going to tuck Wilson away just to see what happens with Zach Wilson at quarterback there. George Pickens should see an uptick this week and just more action across the board because Deontay is obviously sidelined with that hamstring, and that's going to be for at least a couple more weeks. So they're going to need him to go out and run a few different routes than he has been. They can't just have him running the four same routes he's been running since week one of last year without Deontay Johnson there. And, you know, of course, Garrett Wilson lost his quarterback, so with Zach Wilson being there, that's going to be rough. So I think Pickens over Wilson for this week. Further down the line, he still has Mostert in the starting spot, but he is dealing with an injury. He's questionable right now.
I think you pointed out that he's hurt all the time, and here we are.
Yeah, I said he could get injured week one and be out for 4 weeks, or he get injured week one and be out for the rest of the season, but he's getting injured week one. Yeah. I don't like that, of course. I like Mostert. He's a beast, but it's always happening. So he didn't practice today. Could just be a maintenance thing because he's an older guy and they know his injury history. So he may still start the week. But if I'm him, I'm actually going to move Tyler Algier up into that spot. And I know that sounds crazy because he has Bijan as a starting running back, but you saw what they did last week. The Falcons can carry two fantasy viable backs, and they more than proved that with them combining for 42 fantasy points last week.
Absolutely.
And then I actually spent a little time on Vince's team looking at his team. I was interested in what he was going to do at quarterback because he had Goff and he had Rodgers. He obviously lost Rodgers and picked up Purdy. So he currently has Purdy in the starting slot. I'm interested to see if he keeps him there or not. He won last week handily with Goff there. So obviously Purdy has the better weapons. So in my mind, you might want to, you know, go with the weapons over anything else there, especially Goff has St. Brown, but outside of that, I think Purdy wins it handily. So
yeah.
I think I'm just interested to see what he does there.
Yeah, I think that Brock Purdy, Jared Goff one, I think it's a toss-up just because of the matchups. Brock Purdy going against the Rams defense, which looked pretty good week one. But the thing is, outside of Aaron Donald, name one more player on that Rams defense. I'll give you a couple of minutes to think. Because Jalen Ramsey's gone. Who else they got? But they played,
traded away everybody.
Yeah, they played pretty well, though. I'll give them that. They played pretty well against Seattle, who Seattle had a lot of expectations coming into this year. Jared Goff going against the Seattle defense. They're in Detroit, so it's a home game for them. Jared Goff, a little bit more comfortable at home. I don't know.
That's a little bit is right putting there. It lightly.
Yeah. That's a toss up right there. I don't disagree. I think maybe you went with Goff, right? Because that's what
I think I would start Goff.
That's where I think I'd go to.
Rolling back to Zach's. Shane, I think you graded him. I think he got an A+ on his draft grade. Is that correct? And if so, is what you saw in week one from him, does it reflect it?
Obviously not if you're looking at the score, unfortunately, with the 95-point breakdown. But you can't judge the draft based off of one game. It's right. Looking more towards the year. But I actually didn't grade
I gave him an A-. He was my highest.
A-. Sorry. Was he the highest grade of all the drafts that were chosen?
He was a
mine. I think he was.
Yeah. I don't know if
he was the highest across the board.
Yeah.
Nice.
He did have two extra picks, though, which he took, Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson. And then his first real pick, I think, was Amon-Ra St. Brown, which, I mean, he was a killer last year in fantasy, and he played pretty well week one, too.
He kept Amon-Ra.
Did he?
Who did he pick? Yeah, he kept Amon-Ra.
Pickens, maybe. Did he pick Pickens?
Let me see his team real quick here. So he kept Josh Allen, Garrett Wilson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Hawkinson.
Okay.
Yeah, his first pick would have been outside of Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs would have been...
George Pickens, I think.
Yeah, George Pickens, yep.
Yeah, okay.
Got to be a lot of pressure coming into the league. I mean, not having been part of it. Was Zach in a keeper league before he entered? Did he have any experience with that?
No, he, to my knowledge, had not been in a keeper league before. And I don't know if he's ever worked with Fab before or not either.
So I know much he was different strategy.
Yeah, exactly. But he was extremely excited to get into it. Once I sent him over the team and like the rules and how we had everything set up, he was hyped for it.
Yeah. Again, kudos to you for putting together a great league here. It's a lot of six, seven years in the making up to this point to get it to where it is. And it's structured really nicely.
Thank you, sir.
Just both. Buttering you up now so that we get you ready for Trash the Commission.
I know what you're doing. It's in your face. All right. Timmy.
King of the Hill. 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 King of the Hill.
All right, well, damn it.
I forgot about the last one.
I was like, I thought there was a longer one, and then I saw you saying go.
I forgot. Nice setup. I forgot.
I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing, you jerk.
King of the Hill.
Okay, that's the last touchdown. One. I promise.
King all right, of so the this Hill. Is actually one of my favorite segments, even though I hate you so much.
That's too. The last one, I promise. God.
So welcome to round two of King of the Hill, or Ling of the Hall, as it's become known in our group chat about it. None of our autocorrect works properly, so we just speak in a different language in there. all three parties last week came away with the win. I used my bonus, so I lead 2-0. Tim, or 2-0. Tim, you and Jason have 1-0. We're going to go ahead and finalize our picks for this week. Tim, who you got and why?
Okay. I think I'm going to go with a little bit of a surprise. You wanted to know before we started, but I told you I wanted to keep you off balance right here. Not so that you would take my pick, but because I think that it's going to surprise you. This week, I'm taking Jimmy to beat Jeff. Jeff is favored in the matchup, but I feel like his team has a few question marks that need to be answered. Dalvin Cook taking a fantasy hit already with the loss of Aaron Rodgers. DJ Moore only targeted twice in the Bears' loss last week to Green Bay. Rashad White, unimpressive last week, averaging less than 3 yards per carry. And if Mark Andrews isn't ready to go, his tight end slot is filled with Luke Musgrave, who was only targeted 4 times last week by Jordan Love. On the flip side, I feel like Jimmy will have his team fired up and ready to go for week two. He's going to get on the horn. He's going to get them fired up one by one. And Lamar Jackson being the first one over in Baltimore, he's going to go up against the Bengals defense, which surrendered 24 points to Cleveland last week. Christian Kirk, look for him to get in the mix with Jacksonville this week. Travis Kelce might be coming back this week. He should be back. We saw how much the team needs him offensively last week with his absence not being there. And I feel like Buffalo's defense will look to avenge last week's loss. If DeMar Hamlin were to dress, could you imagine how electric that crowd's going to be and that team's going to be coming out there whenever the Bills take the field? And no touchdowns out of any of Jimmy's starters last week. So why am I picking him? He's due. I feel like Jimmy comes out week two, and I feel like he puts up, I don't want to say an ungodly number, but I feel like a very solid number, and I think he's going to stun Jeff. So I'm going Jimmy over Jeff week two.
Listen, you got to watch out for Jimmy's like the last horse in the race that gets that sprint right at the end. Like you can't count him out ever. So right when you think you got him on the ropes, he comes out strong. And I like that. I agree with you, Tim. And it feels good to root for him.
By the way, I talked with Jimmy yesterday a little bit, and he's like, "Oh man, what's this? I hear my draft. What's going on with my draft, man? What's wrong with it?"
Oh man, I went to bat for Jimmy last week on the call, and dude, he's right though. I mean, he's right. He's like, I don't know where Tim gets off.
He's like, my name's on that plaque once. Where's Tim's at? Oh, that's right.
Too funny.
You keep doing him dirty subconsciously too, Tim. You keep giving him less titles than he has. He has two.
Yeah, he has two. Yeah, he definitely. Yeah, yeah. He emphasized that he had two.
No, I did tell him because he didn't listen to it yet. So, but he said it was Apple Podcasts was screwing up for him also, just like it was for you, Shane. But I told him, I was like, yeah, I felt bad. I didn't realize, like, I listened back to it and it sounds like I'm mad about your draft. And I told him, I was like, that's not, I didn't mean for it to come off that way. And Shane actually pointed out the face that I was making when I was like talking about it. He said, I looked disgusted by some of his picks, and I was like, that's not where I was going. That's not what I was trying to do. But I told him, man. I said, he needs to come on, defend himself. I said, save it for the podcast.
I think he should. He should come on, defend himself. And when I mentioned it to him about him drafting Steeler players, like last week, when I talked to him, he was like, you know what? I don't think I have one single Steeler player on my team, dude. Like, he was like freaked out. He's like, that's funny because I don't have any Steeler players on my team.
Oh my god! Okay, hold on. I'm pulling his team up right now. He does. I think he has a former Steeler. And that's what we were saying. Hold on. Let's see. No, he doesn't have any Steeler players on his team or former that I can remember.
No. It's a new Jimmy. It's a new season. It's a new Jimmy.
Is that why he has Jamal Williams on his team still? Answer me that.
Oh man, is Jamal Williams a Steeler?
No, but you said it's the new Jimmy, and that's not a new Jimmy.
Oh man. So yeah, Jimmy, if you're listening to this, you got a week notice. You're coming on next week. Come on, defend yourself for your D that I gave you in the draft. And actually, if he joins us next week, guys, you know who Jimmy plays next week?
Oh, it's perfect. It's a showdown.
Yeah.
It's a challenge to him, honestly. It's a challenge to him to come on.
It is. So, Jimmy, I am challenging you to come on the Prime League podcast, episode 1.07. And we'll face off next Wednesday night.
Love it.
God. All right. All right. That's the last alarm that goes off. Good. Good. Okay.
Amateur hour, Tim.
All right. Bubbin, did you get Jay's pick? If you did, hold on to it. If not, I'll send it to you so you can announce Jay's
pick. I got it. Yeah,
okay.
I got it.
Okay. Shane, you want to go next?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and let mine go. I am taking Remy this week. Tim, you're not doing a bonus, are you?
No. Not with this pick.
All right, just wanted to make sure. Okay. Not ballsy enough to do that, are you? So I'm taking Remington over Jason this week. It's actually not too wide of a spread. It's projected 123 for Remy, 109 to Jason. But with the injuries on his side and him being out, maybe potentially out of contact with his team, I'm kind of betting on that. I think Remy will run away with this one. I think the spread's going to be a little bit wider of a gap than it's being represented here. So taking Remy on this one, obviously just a normal pick. And come on, Remy, don't fail me.
Wow. Yeah, when life gets in the way, you know, it's hard to really give your 100% focus to fantasy like it needs if you're going to get wins. So, I mean, that could come into play there.
Yeah.
So I did confer with Jason. He called me via satellite phone. He was like spearing dolphins or something off the coast of Alaska. And we conferred, we talked about some things, and we both agreed that this week Jason and I would be taking Mike Wilgruber over Bryce. And the decision behind that was just that Mike's starting lineup looks a lot stronger. Jalen Hurts, Stephon Diggs, Devontae Adams, and Bryce's quarterback Justin Fields struggled last week. And, you know, Jason and I just felt like Mike was a solid pick over Bryce this week.
Okay.
King of the Hill.
King of the Hill.
Okay, so I'm going with Jimmy over Jeff. Shane's going with Remy over Bryce. Or Jason. Jay, Remy over Jay, and Jay's going with Mike over Bryce. There we
Mike
go.
Over
that's,
Bryce.
That's it. Yep. Okay. Okay. All right. So there we got it. Shane is.
And I think Bryce had like the second lowest score last week out of all the teams as well, which I think influenced that a little bit.
So. Yeah. So
yeah, the only person that had a lower score last week was actually Jimmy.
And one. Wait, what do you mean lower score? Of our picks. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so after week one, Shane is
King of the Hill
with a 2-0 record, and Jay and I are each 1-0 heading into week two. Neither of us have used our bonuses, so we'll see how it goes. Best the best case scenario, we're all undefeated after this week. Shane goes 3-0, and Jay and I go to 2-0 and vice versa.
Piece of white trash.
It's time to trash the commish.
Here we go. The segment you've all tuned in for. It's time to trash the commish. Of course, this segment brought to you by Greg's Eggs. Check out the Greg's Eggs YouTube channel for the latest episode of Greg's Eggs. And do me a favor. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Justin Humphreys, the former owner of the Delaware Donkey Punchers of the Papua New Guinea Prime League, since you are our guest today, we'll give you the reins. Go ahead, and let's see what you got. Trash the commish.
Well, it's not so much me trashing the commish. I got a call today from Miss Nichols, our former English teacher from 7th grade, one of Shane's favorites. Yes. And she had a little something she wanted to share. She had a question, actually, and it was, why does Shane wear boxers? Do you have a guess? To keep his ankles warm. So, you know, I don't know what that means. I didn't ask. I didn't ask for her to elaborate, but that was, you know, she called me earlier today. It's actually a voicemail I have right now.
Oh my God.
Hey, also, how do you drown Shane? Anybody have any idea how to drown Shane? Put a scratch and stiff sticker at the bottom of the pool.
Oh man. Insulting his intelligence right here. I love it.
Stupid. Okay, so also, do you know how to make Shane laugh on Saturday? Anybody You ever try to make Shane laugh on Saturday? It's interesting. You got to tell him the joke on Wednesday to to achieve that. And also, last one for me, also, you know, Shane once thought he was a genius. He used to tell people that all the time. He'd call me up and say, I'm a genius. And I'd say, why, Shane? And he'd say, well, I finished this jigsaw puzzle I got. And I'm like, all right, well, what do you mean it's a you're a genius? He'd say, well, the box says 2 to 5 years, but it only took me one.
piece of white trash.
It's time to trash the commission.
All right, solid. Solid.
I mean, that's just the rumor. Those are the rumors that are going around.
Okay.
Tell them on Wednesday.
Okay, this one is from a listener. This one is from Chief Roaring Eagle from near the roulette wheel. In my culture, we believe that nature has given us each a tree. This tree exists solely to provide us oxygen. It is part of our sacred contract with nature. Shane should journey out, find his tree, kneel before it, and apologize for wasting its efforts. Then, hang himself from it. God damn. Don't need to read that last part about hanging if it goes too far. LOL. Well, I didn't read that part first.
Wow.
That's what it says. I'm not kidding. Look, that's you're not going to be able to see that, but that is legitimately what it says.
That was sent in anonymously, or someone actually wrote that into the show?
No, well, someone wrote that into the show. Yeah, someone from the... I got a text message from it, yeah.
Wow. Jeez.
Jeez.
Okay, this one's from Greta Thunberg from This Planet. Oh, if laughter is the best medicine, then your face must be curing the world. Rocky Dennis from Cher's Vajayjay says, you're so ugly that when your mom dropped you off at school, she got a fine for littering.
Oh my God. Trash. Wow.
It's prime.
Whoopi Gold Cream from TV's The Clucking Hens says, Kamish, you'll go far one day, and please, do us all a favor, stay there. All right, finally.
Piece of white trash.
It's time to trash the
Kamish. Sorry, the bed ran out. All right, this one, finally, from The Hoff from PG-13 Porn says, you're proof that the gene pool needs lifeguards.
Piece of white trash.
It's time to trash the commission.
Wow. Jeez. I mean, that's rough. That's serious bashing right there.
It's attacking the as Shane mentioned. It's not even it's not even trashing his commish abilities. It's attacking him personally.
I mean, I was with Shane last week, and I told him that, Shane, don't tell anybody, but the bees scare me. He said, don't worry, the whole alphabet scares me. So, guy's not all there sometimes, you know?
That was supposed to be kept between us, man.
Okay, Shane, what you got for us?
Oh, shit. Oh man, okay. I don't have anything for you, man.
that one last week that Jason, or I don't know what episode it was, but it was the one Jason did. It was like, roses are red, violets are blue.
That's last week.
I can't remember, but it was brutal.
That was Edgar Allan Poe, dude. That was pretty intense.
Do you remember it? That was legendary when I heard that. I couldn't believe man. It.
I don't think I can pull
it
up quick
enough. Yeah, it was like, roses are red, violets are blue. You're so ugly, you belong in a zoo.
Yeah, that's what it was. You look like a monkey and belong in a zoo or something like that. So childish.
Oh my God, too good.
Oh my God.
I don't have anything to say. I commend the great job, the trash talking. I'll come here every week just for a laugh. That's perfectly fine. I do have one word of warning to Wayne, though. If I don't hear from you in 7 days, I'm start docking you 10 points every week until you pay me.
Oh man.
Still one delinquent, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things. That's one of the good things about the commish. You know, he's stern, but he's fair.
Absolutely. Yeah, as Jay mentioned, a couple of episodes that we do give him a hard time, and rightfully so. But he has whipped this group of scoundrels into shape. So.
Oh man.
It is a ragtag bunch too. So I mean, it's you know, it's not always easy. It's hard work.
Yeah. Well, Justin, thank you for joining us today. It was fun. What'd you think?
Yeah, had a blast. Obviously, I don't know shit about football, but had a good time just chopping it up with you guys, and still love the podcast. So thanks for having me. And it was great hanging out and shooting it for a little bit.
Thank you.
You kicked ass. This was a lot of fun. I definitely appreciate you coming on and keeping Jay's seat warm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to replace Jay. Jay is a crucial, integral part of the show. And
it's not that hard.
I mean, he's important, Shane, all right? Stop hogging all the spotlight.
But yeah, Jay is out again next week. He will return the following Wednesday. I don't have the calendar put up in front of me, but I think that's August 4th. Just throwing that day out there. I don't know if it's right or not. Wednesday,
we're going
August
back
4th.
In time.
I was going to say
October 4th. October 4th. October 4th. Gosh, man. Let's see. All right, now I got to look. Wednesday, October 4th. Look at
Drake Landon.
Saturday, All right, Wednesday, September 27th. Jay returns to the Prime League podcast. There we go.
So listen, one last thing, real quick. Do you? I don't think I've heard you guys talk about it on the podcast, but what happens with the belt or the trophy every year when somebody wins? What happens with it? Does it get shipped around, or how does it work?
It's up to the winner. It's up to the winner. If they want to pay for the shipping, it's like $30 or something. They can keep it all year.
And do they have to pay to get their names etched in it, or do you do that and deliver it?
No, that comes out. I hold $20 back for the plaque out of all the pool money. And that goes to that plaque every year.
Man, you see what I mean? The commish is on it, dude. He's on it. Yeah. He's ready for these things.
We would have never that. We would have never had that. I was commish before Jay. Actually, oh man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to find this.
And Jay, as the co-commish, does a great job as well. I've witnessed personally Jay step in, you know, when Shane's unavailable, and act as the commish would act.
Man, I hope I find this. Give me a second, boys.
Yeah, he certainly has. What are you looking for, Tim?
I found something the other day that I wanted to read on the next episode, and I can't remember where I found it at. Crap.
Is it like the old Yahoo record or something?
No, it's even funnier. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Okay. Okay. All right. Digging through my... I'm sorry I'm bringing this up at the very end of the show. I think this should be one of the ones that open up the show. But I was digging through my emails a couple of days ago, and I came across this message from our now commish, and I believe it is him announcing, himself as the new commish whenever he took it over years ago. So this is digging back into the archives.
This is his inaugural speech.
This is digging back to the archives. This is one of the first messages that Shane, the commish, one of his famous messages that he always sends to the group. This is one of the very first ones, if not the number one. Dear OVFFL members, Ohio Valley Fantasy Football League members, I am writing you today not only as a fellow member, but as your new commissioner. As a difficult week filled with loads, in parentheses, semen, countless hours at work, and a stubborn large man who would not activate his team, Bryce, Jason has decided to step down. After countless hours of deliberation, I have decided to step in to fill his gaping hole that has been left wide open. Now, now I know that it will not be easy, but I am confident to say I can and will fill Jason's hole. There are going to be some changes coming soon. Some may be for the worst, some may be for the better. As my first order as the commish, I hereby institute mandatory drug testing for all members. For any team who had clean urine, one must supply other group members in need if an unexpected drug test occurs. Two will be deducted 10 points from their weekly score until they test positive for some type of drug. Now for the upcoming season. Since Bryce would not activate his team, he will be removed from the league. Another team will be added. I will be the first owner of this team. I will auto draft itself. It will auto draft itself, and I will ensure that it has all players starting each week. If you have a problem with that, please feel free to discuss. Draft will occur sometime next week, hopefully Monday or Tuesday. I'm going to put a poll up if possible with a few dates and the time. In the time with the most votes will win. Again, I would like to thank the former commissioner Ryan for all of his hard work and dedication. That's all you called him right there was Ryan.
Right.
That's it. That was your first note to the league as commish, Sean. Way back in 2016, 2015.
That's crazy. Hilarious though. You get penalized for having a clean drug test. That's a tough league right there.
Tell you what, nobody tested clean that first week. There's no way.
Wow.
Oh man.
That's a good piece of history right there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, dude, you need to frame that, Tim.
I wanted to send it to you guys, but I wanted to keep it secret until we were able to read it on here. So I will send it to the group.
That's good stuff. Yeah, definitely send it now. I appreciate that.
Everything's still up in the air after week one, guys. No clear-cut team. What's your expectations for week two?
Man, it's hard to make anything out till week three or four. You know, nobody really knows their team yet. We're still trying to figure things out. But I'm looking forward to hopefully winning this week and getting a nice base and just seeing what plays out with some of the teams that lost their big guys this week.
Yeah. Running over the matchups for week two real quick. The fantasy football team versus In Your Girl's Guts. Sanford Waddle Rockets versus Spider-Man Parts. Clam Wallet Scavengers taking on Member Berries. Teamy McTeam Face hosting Team Sestito. Let It Rain welcomes Tama Jama. And Team Aaron's We Trust, which is now singular, Team Aaron We Trust, taking on the Grateful Zeds. And by the way, he has an apostrophe in there. I don't think he needs an apostrophe in there because apostrophes show possession or just possession, right? It doesn't show plural. Yeah, he has Team Aaron with apostrophe right there. So, one, correct your grammar or events and shorten that to a singular version of Aaron.
I love it.
Also, to make sure to set your lineups Thursday night matchup tomorrow night between the Eagles and the Vikings. When you're hearing this, if it's not live right now, it will be tonight, of course. Or maybe it was last night, depending on, again, when you're listening to it.
I'm excited to see what unfolds this coming week. I'm going to be watching closely, and I'm excited to see if Jason and I's pick, Mike over Bryce, comes to fruition.
Man, I hope you both lose. Oh, man, I hope you're both so wrong. That would give me such a nice gap.
Again, thanks to the commish. We are on social media. Want to go ahead and drop that handle?
Yeah, at Prime League Pod. At Prime League Pod.
That's on X or Twitter. You can also get in contact with the Prime League Podcast via email, primeleaguepodcast@gmail.com. Shoot one of us a text message. This episode is live every Wednesday night at 7:30, and we will post it the following day, Thursday afternoon, right around 12 o'clock. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, the major podcast platforms. Wherever you get your podcast, go ahead and search Prime League Podcast. You get us right there. Anything we want to touch on before we wrap it up, guys?
Thanks for having me. It was a blast.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for being here, Humpy. Nice work tonight, guys. Had a great time. I mean, good luck this week, Matt.
Yeah. Good luck, everybody. Don't forget, again, set your lineups. Prime League Podcast.
I'm just your average hood nigga with dreams of getting rich. My crib big like a football field. You might fuck around and think I signed a football deal, but you don't hear me. I take 15 minutes to drop a track. Yeah, I take half a minute to load my gas,
but you don't hear me.
I make them bounce all across the globe. I'm a pimp, I got your hoe taking off her clothes. A franchise like a Houston Rockets. Every 8 months is when I usually drop it.
But you don't hear me.
I got the streets on lock. I like my beats with knock. You know my heat stay cocked.
Now who they want? Let, game over. Let, game over.
You just an opening act, but I'm the headline.
But you don't hear me.
I'm about to ship 3 mil off top. You got your deal off your man, I got my deal off price.
But you don't hear me.
I'm connected like Dub and Mac 10 with ice cubes in my watch and Dubs on the black bean.
But you don't hear me.
I'm getting paid cause I do all the work. It's rainy days if we don't move all our work. We go for search.
But you don't hear me.
I'm on the block fam, in the cream drop lamb. Most of y'all cats with deals, y'all ain't hot,
but you
man.
Don't hear me.
I'm about to do it again, you about to lose it again. It's show and tell, motherfucker, I'm a fool again.
Game over.
Over. It's about time, cause hip hop need a makeover. And most producers wanna charge too much, but around my way, that's how you get fucked up. You might think we all beats and rhymes, but way before this rap shit, nigga, the streets was mine.
But you don't hear me.
I got that hot shit, that thug life pop shit, that get hot shit, that B.I.G. ready to die shit.